Now I come to chapter 50 here, and we have the reason for the rejection of Israel, and that is Israel's rejection of Christ. That is the reason today. That is the hurdle they must get over before there can be blessing for them. He came as their Messiah. He actually was one of them. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. He was born under the law. The woman at the well says, "How is it thou being a Jew that you ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Now we have here in this chapter, God the Father states the reason for the rejection of Israel. And then in verses 4 through 9, God the Son speaks concerning his humiliation. And in verses 10 and 11, God the Holy Spirit suggests that man trust the Son. This is another remarkable chapter, by the way, and a very brief one. "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." Now, the fact they are in a position that they're in is because of the attitude and their relationship to the one that God sent to them. Now, in verse 2, God says, "Wherefore, when I come, was there no man? When I call, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water, and dieth for thirst." In other words, when Christ came, the dignity and worth of his person demanded that men join angels in praise and worship. He was the Creator and Redeemer and demanded reverence from his creatures. And God would have saved, but he was rejected then by his people. And today he's being rejected by a world. Now, the very specific sin for which God set Israel aside is stated here, their rejection of the Messiah. When he came, there was no reception of him at all. And there was no man to welcome him at his birth, no one to receive him when he began his ministry, and they rejected and killed their Messiah. Now, Simon Peter, on the day of Pentecost, put it like this in Acts 2, verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now they have rejected their Messiah. And God makes it very clear that it's on that basis that they have now been set aside. Now, the Son, beginning at verse 4, speaks of his humiliation. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." The title by which Christ, here the perfect servant, addresses God is revealing. It's Jehovah Adonai. This is the way he made himself known to his people. Now he came meek and lowly to do the Father's will. And it says here that how to speak a word in season. He studied the Word of God. And my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ studied and knew the Word of God in his day, what about you, Christian friend? Isn't it really one of the greatest sins of believers in this hour? It's not sins of commission, it's sins of omission, omitting the study of the Word of God. I would say that that's the great sin of the church at this hour. Just not studying the Word of God. It's the great sin of individual Christians today. That's the reason for this program. Now, he continues, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, he's not talking here about speaking as the learned, but hearing, which means he was studying the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, you want to know what he did? They say for the first 30 years, he was a carpenter. You've only told half of the truth when you've said that. The other half is he studied the Word of God. And therefore, you have here this very tremendous statement. Now, if he needed to study the Word of God, what about you? What about me? I think we need to get with it, and I must repeat it. Because I'm already hipped on this subject anyway. This is my hang-up, and I can't think of a better hang-up than right here on this matter of the Word of God. My friend, the greatest sin in the church today is not this or that. The greatest sin is the ignorance of the Word of God and the lack of study of the Word of God. It's nonsense today to say, oh, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believe it's God's Word. I'll defend it with my life. And then never study it. My friend, if God has spoken between the pages of Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22, then somewhere between that, he's got a word for us. And if it's God speaking, we ought to listen to him. Now the Lord Jesus, here in this section, he speaks of his humiliation. And in verse 5, he says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now, this speaks of his crucifixion. I don't have time today to go into detail, but you'll remember back in Exodus, the 21st chapter there, the very first 6 verses of that chapter, it told about a servant who wanted to become a permanent servant. He would back up against a doorpost and put his ear up against that doorpost. And through the lobe of the ear, why, the owner of that man would run all through it. That is, make a hole there. And he could wear an earring after that. And I'm convinced that he had one there that indicated that he was a slave forever to the man. Now, the reason he would become a slave is because he'd taken a wife while he was in slavery and sold himself. Now, he can never go out himself because he's bound now. Now, the Lord Jesus came down to this earth, and his ear was not digged. The psalmist says that in Psalm 40, 6 and 8. But Hebrews 10, verse 5 and 7 says, a body hast thou prepared me. And that body was digged upon the cross, and it refers to his crucifixion. Now, he says in verse 6, here, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And this was literally fulfilled. And that is the reason that Matthew and Mark and John, all three of these Gospels, record the fact that he was spit upon, he was scourged, and how he was buffeted, and how he was smitten. This is something that we might pass over, but this was something that was spoken of him literally fulfilled. Now, I drop down to the third division here, where God the Holy Spirit suggests that men trust the Savior and trust the Son. And verse 10 here, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his word. You have here a wooing word. The Holy Spirit speaks a soothing and imploring word to trust and rest in God's servant. Now he turns from that here and gives a warning word in verse 11. Listen to this. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now, we had the wooing word. Here is the warning word. This verse is in contrast, sharp contrast, to verse 10. There is the wooing word. He implores them. But here it's the warning word. And the warning is for those who walk in the light of their own fire. A man said to me some time ago, he said, McGee, I heard you on the radio. I disagree with you about salvation. He says, let me tell you what I think about it. Well, he was ready to build a fire and wanted us both to sit there and try to warm by his fire. And I knew that it was a phony fire, that it would give off no heat or light either. And so I just said to him, frankly, I don't mean to be ugly or rude, but I don't want to hear what you think, because what you think and what I think is quite meaningless. It's what God said. And we need to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus. He is the light of the world. Now, when you and I reject him, who is the light of the world, then we generally walk in the light of our own little fire down here. And there's a warning. You're going to lie down by that fire in sorrow. And it means you're eternally lost.